Okay, I think I'm in the frame.
Shooting through the jungle, mate.
Am I allowed to do that? Yeah, probably, because they're white and I'm white. And but nar, it's not offensive. Nar, maybe it is. I don't know. I think the Australians aren't going to cancel me. I don't think anybody's going to cancel me. I'm going to try to explain to you all about where, what I'm doing, where I'm at, and some things that I've written down. Currently, I'm in some state. I don't even know. Like, I literally don't know what state I'm in right now in the country of the United States of America. Place I've never been. We're at some, like, state park. It's $9. There's no ranger. You fill out a little envelope and stick it in there. And it is like a heat wave, or maybe it's just this hot here all the time. I don't know. But it's fucking damn hot. And we're at this campground, and we're really putting the test to this motorhome, because it has vents, but no AC. And no AC in the cab. So today we got up at 5:30 in the morning and didn't have breakfast, just got in the cab and started driving. And we actually got breakfast on the road. And we did that, you know, it's dark. We're driving in the dark. And that's the only time it's cool, because it cools down at night here. So we're leaving pretty early in the morning and driving. And today we drove until noon. And we immediately, like, by then we needed to find shade. We probably should have found shade at least an hour before that. And yeah, we just tried to survive. I mean, we're still in it. We're still in it, you know. I'm still in it right now. The only reason that I'm not dead, I feel like, although that's a big over exaggeration, it's just really hot. The main thing saving me right now is at this state park, there's a faucet and there's water in the ground that has, you know, there's a well, somebody's drilled something, there's water coming from somewhere. And this is super primitive. Like, there's outhouses and there's picnic tables and there's like a office way down the place. And yeah, I haven't seen basically anybody else, a couple other campers, and some that left today because people were here this weekend. But it is damn hot to be out camping with no AC, and we are taking full advantage of that faucet, the beautiful water that's in there. And the other thing we're doing is, right now I'm on edibles, so I'm high as hell right now and feeling the experience for what it is. And a lot of things have come up for me, and I've written a lot about it, but just a little foreshadowing, a little preview of things to come. I've written a lot and thought about a lot my privilege of being here even, and having that water to bathe in and cool down, and the privilege of having this motorhome. And then I started thinking about privilege and how that is kind of just an idea of like the past, and it's like, do we even control the past? Like, do we even control our privilege in any way? Maybe we don't even have, like, basically I'm having the argument, or not the argument, but I'm like contemplating the ideas of not having free will. And that's an interesting idea, and one that I wrote about and then we'll get into, but there's all of the minutiae in between the experience that I'm having right now, and I'm writing about it. And it feels good. It feels like, wow, this is something that that actually writing didn't really fulfill the full need. And that's why I'm doing this podcast right now. I'm not doing this podcast because I feel like I need to, or that I should, or that I need to bank them up, because I'm only releasing one of these a week and I have like 4 weeks in advance. And I'm not feeling like, oh, I need to do something here. I do feel like I need to do this podcast, but it's for the reason of wanting to share this way and to create this way. So this is me experiencing life and talking about life as I'm at the same time experiencing and talking. So we've been taking advantage. What does that look like? What does it look like to have taken advantage of this faucet? Well, it looks like me and my partner spraying ourselves down with our water hose that we attach to it. And it's, you know, that's our shower head. And just taking in the cold water that is beautifully, and we're so grateful for that, it's under the ground and we can use it. And, you know, I start thinking about my privilege with that, and I start thinking about waste as well. And I think, well, I quickly rationalized. I was thinking, okay, a KOA, a Campgrounds of America, or a campground that has a pool. I think about that, and that's where we stayed last night. We stayed at a campground with a pool because we knew that it was going to be 33 degrees, or actually it was hotter. It even got up to 35, I believe. And so we knew that we needed to have a pool, access to a pool. So we paid for it. And okay, that's a privilege to be able to pay for it. But I was also thinking about like the amount of water that I'm using. I think about this like rationing thing, especially when I'm traveling, about like using water. And I do that even when I'm like showering. I feel like, oh, it's like wasteful to have too long of a shower. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know where I am even. Like, that's the other thing, is I don't even know the state I'm in. And I'm using all this water, and I'm using it publicly, and this isn't a campground. I'm using the faucet. I'm attaching my hose each time, taking it off, trying to be respectful, but also just like, this is basically saving us right now in some ways. And it's so nice, like that cold water on your face. Like my face gets to a level when I'm in here, or even when I'm outside or doing anything, where it just becomes unbearably hot. Like it becomes like puffy and swollen, and my hands, my joints are all swollen. And my feet just feel like huge, and it's just from the heat. I'm just feeling the heat. And I started feeling dehydrated as well, like lightheaded. And luckily I watched this YouTube video about how Prime, the drink Prime, is a basically a hydration scam. And I don't know if it is, maybe, but it talked about like what's in a hydration drink. And it talked about salt and sugar in the water. And basically, the sugar allows you to metabolize and get that salt back into your system quicker, and you're losing a lot of sweat, or you're losing a lot of salt by sweating. And that's what makes you feel dehydrated, is when you actually have no more electrolytes. So I had some water with salt, and then I ate a little piece of chocolate, which that's also too, like I needed a little bit of uptick. But when I'm high, which I am now. Oh, did I even talk about that? I don't know. But I'm also on edibles. I'm in a state I don't know, and I'm on edibles. And I'm thinking about life, and I'm dying from the heat. And life is crazy right now. Life is absolutely crazy. It feels insane to be moving across the country in this fashion. And it feels very wild. Feels wild. And I know people that would never do this. They would fly to move across the country. And even if they, you know, they might, if they did a road trip, it would be to those KOAs every single time, and which make it a lot easier. And or it would be to hotels. And that's how a lot of people do road trips. And hotels solve a lot of issues, like not having AC during a heat wave. That is living differently. Like it makes it so that all you can do is deal with the heat. And I was, you know, wondering about that a little while ago, where I was thinking, like, in a lot of countries that don't have AC, you know, there's a lot of developing countries that don't have air conditioning. People don't have air conditioning. And maybe that's like, you know, I feel like it's very tough to do things when it's that hot. And it's like you literally just can't work at those times when it's that hot. At least I can't. And I don't think you just get used to it. I think it's very hard physically to work in extreme heat. And there are parts of the world where there's a lot of extreme heat, and it's very hard to live there. It's very hard to live somewhere that is like environmentally difficult. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how it's a privilege to be moving where I'm moving because of how much water it gets. The cabin I'm moving into, I feel privileged because I'm basically being able to move in there because of nepotism, because of my family. And I feel privileged in that way, and that there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. And what I started to think about was because when I feel privileged, I don't feel, that doesn't make me feel good, actually. So what I started thinking about was, okay, I am privileged to experience that. I'll accept that. I am privileged. I'm privileged in those ways. It's okay that I'm privileged in those ways. What, like, because that's just the way it is. That's just, like, privilege is the past, right? I really don't think we control our past. We barely control the present, and sometimes we don't. I think, like, it takes being really, really conscious, and like you don't have those experiences all the time where you're fully in the moment, taking control. And so wouldn't that mean then you don't have control over your past at all, and not even really your present, and therefore not your future? Because if you don't have control now, you don't have control into the future. But I do think that there are moments of control. There's moments of authentic realization of the moment. And that's what I think is very hard to do that. I think when you start to recognize the actual moment, you start to think, oh, was I raised right? Is what I'm doing okay? Is this a problem, who I am? You start thinking about things that are real and about issues in your life that's currently happening. Because and that's the other thing, right? I was thinking, the original thought that got me into thinking about privilege was the ability to be stoned. It is a privilege to be able to be stoned. In some places, it's highly illegal. So you basically have to be very close to criminals or criminal activity. And it is totally like that affects it, right? That makes it so that you have to be able to be in a safe place to get really stoned. Like, it's a privilege to be able to be stoned and to be able to sit back and be like, yeah, I'm doing good, I'm chilling, you know? Because if you get stoned and you're having a hard time in your life and you're not able to handle that, that's a problem, right? And that it's a privilege to not have a problem when you get stoned. That's basically what I was trying to explore as a concept. And, you know, it's like setting up and like, you know, all the effort that people do to get stoned, and they really, you know, like a lot of people do realize that, you have to be in the right space. You have to feel comfortable. And if you don't feel comfortable, then it's going to be very challenging. And so people do that, and I do that, but you know, I'm in a state that I don't even know where I'm at, and I'm as high as I've ever been in my life. And I hit this plateau with weed where I literally call it, like, the level of high is the highest I've ever been in my life. And I say that every time, because every time it feels that way. But every time it's probably about the same level. It's about the same level of intensity. I hit a max and it feels really intense. It's the highest I've ever been in my life. And that's what I got to today. And I'm coming down from that now. I wouldn't be able to set this podcast up. I wouldn't be able to talk like this when I was at the peak, because I was so stoned and feeling so intense. Like the act of being stoned, that stoned, but then also feeling this intense heat and this intense day and this intense life that I'm currently living would be like it was just very intense. So it was just like I was just living it, like adding anything else. Like I told my partner about 20 times that I was gonna go lock up the bikes. And that's because every time I said that, I wanted to go do that, but I was just like, was just overwhelmed by the feeling of being too hot and getting distracted by what I needed to cool myself down. Okay, is there any ice in the freezer? Not really. Is there any, you know, like I came up with the electrolyte drink. Should I go wash down in the shower again? You know, every moment was just about survival. Or at least it felt like that. You know, I don't think I was at a level. Once again, my privilege is showing, but I'm not at a level where I'm dying from heat exhaustion. And the only reason I'm like that is because of my past. I have this motorhome because of my past. And that includes not only me, but family, my history, everyone in my life. The only reason I have this is because of everybody in my life and my past, every experience I've ever had. And that feels like a privilege. And then still in that same breath, I'm like, but we're the smallest motorhome at a KOA. Like yesterday our motorhome was hidden. Like there's just rows of mansion RVs, like the big Class A ones or giant tow behinds that literally take up a full drive-through spot. And then we are in the end drive-through spot, and we are just completely hidden. And our motorhome looks like a toy compared to the other ones. Like, it looks so small. And, you know, that was just an interesting thing, I guess, that happened. And so, okay, so that's what I'm talking about there is, like, okay, what about those people? What about those people that have those giant motorhomes? Like, they have a lot of money to have that. And that's... is how they're living. I mean, what does that mean? Who is that person? What is that life like? Is it, and I guess that's it, right? Like, I was talking about how I am, how I feel like I'm wasting water sometimes. And it's like, well, at a KOA, for instance, they're going to have to empty out that pool that's there every single time that one of these kids takes a shit in it. One of these kids from the families, because it's all families that go there. And they're wasting a ton of water. They're wasting a ton of water, and the water was cold in that pool because it was fresh. And they just cycle that water in and out because it's so busy, and it's just, they're just constantly wasting huge amounts of water. Like, it takes so long to fill a pool. And here at the old water faucet where I'm leaving the tap on and I'm, you know, spraying myself down. I don't even have it on full blast because you don't want it at full blast. You want a nice constant stream that's not crazy. So medium blast water. I'm thinking about how much I'm wasting. And that kind of relates to the feeling of being privileged, right? Like, I feel like, am I wasting this? Am I wasting? Like, is there somebody else that could use what I have? Could I help somebody else? Could I? Like, that's the thing about feeling that sense of privilege, is it kind of makes me, like, in some ways, it doesn't feel as good as gratitude. It makes me feel kind of guilty for what I have. And that makes me kind of think, like, what else I could do as an individual, because I'm so blessed to be who I am. But I also have that same feeling of also not having what I need. So it's kind of this weird mix, this weird in-between. And it's possible that I only feel underprivileged because I'm in this transitioning from living in Ontario to living in British Columbia, and I'm traveling. And it's like, I thought of this other thing earlier that made me laugh. And it's like, there's this term where it's like, people are saying, oh, it's unhoused now. It's not homeless. And it's like, bro, it used to be hobo. It used to be tramp. It used to be, what else did it used to be? It used to be hobo, tramp, and bum. And a hobo was the good one. And now it's like, okay, homeless. And then it's like, okay, unhoused. And now it's like, I think the right term is in between housing. And that made me laugh a little bit. It was like, that's how I feel. Like, and that's how every homeless person would probably want to look at themselves. They're in between housing, and they're going to get their shit together. They're going to like some of them are in between housing, and some of them are trying to work their shit out. And it's like, maybe there was a reason at one point, you know, during the Great Depression, that we could arguably say that we're back in the case of there being so many unhoused people. I say we're at unhoused levels of depression levels with the unhoused issue in this world, that maybe we need to classify people differently. Maybe we need to go back to that hobo, tramp, and bum. And maybe I'm a tramp. Maybe I'm traveling through, and I'm homeless because I'm traveling, and I'm traveling because I'm moving, and I'm a tramp. So I better get a stamp, I guess. Maybe I'll get the motorhome on my lower back. I'll get a tattoo of the motorhome on my lower back. That'll be really fucking sick, dude. And, what else? Maybe I'll read some of this shit. We're 20 minutes in. I feel finally relaxed a little bit. Always feels a little frantic trying to, like,
this is what I need to, like, I need to lay everything down in a way that makes sense. So I have some things written here, and this is going to go over what I talked about. I just freestyle talked about what I've been thinking about, but I've also written down, and we can expand on it. So this is quite a lot of writing, so bear with me. This is what I called it, very stoned in a state I don't know, which is true. And I think that that kind of means two different things. It's like literally I'm very stoned in a state, like in a, I don't know if I'm in Illinois, Iowa, I know. Okay, I'm not in Idaho. I'm not in Illinois. We crossed over from Illinois into, I think I'm in Iowa, but like I literally don't know. And I think that I'm in Iowa. Actually, I'm pretty sure now that I'm really like going through it, but that took me a little while to get there. And I'm still don't have confirmation of it. I'd have to go look and make and double check or look on the map, which I think I'm in Iowa. I want to say Iowa, but it also means very stoned in a state that I don't know, in a, I guess it almost makes, you know, like I rebranded the idea of mindset to mind state. Right. And it's like, if we have that definition being the same thing, then it's like, yeah, I'm in like a state that I don't know, very stoned in a state that I don't know, like a feeling that is new to me. And so, yeah, there's that double meaning, which is very interesting to me. I love things that have double meaning, and oftentimes a lot of my writing is like that. And yeah, okay, so then I've written here, privilege is just a word that means the past. If you have more stored energy because of your past, you have more privilege. I could argue against free will and say that we are only in control of our lives in some moments. Moments of greatness, of realness, of rawness. I didn't actually write that rawness. It just reminded me of a very inauthentic Garth Brooks Facebook video that you should watch. Just search Garth Brooks Facebook video. Of realness. There is power in that moment, but it is painful because you realize your privilege. Maybe this is just a way that I am feeling in this moment. Okay, so there's a lot there. Privilege is just a word that means the past. I kind of explained that already, I think. If you have more stored energy because of your past, you have more privilege. So this kind of gets into stored energy is basically another name for money. It's a more descriptive term because it's not always money. It's just stored energy. And that takes the form of other people as well. You know, that's the stored energy of an individual. You know, we only have so much energy in a lifetime. And to take somebody's energy is to use that energy. And, you know, we use the stored energy of people who support us, and hopefully we can give our stored energy back to them, and we can have a good exchange, so that it's not just a take, it's a take give. But that is true, you know, and that is privilege to me. That's what I would define privilege as, is it's having more stored energy in the past, and having more stored energy today because of the past, I guess. I could argue against free will and say that we are only in control of our lives in these moments. So this is a little separate. Moments of greatness, of realness. There is power in the moment. But it's painful because you realize your privilege. Okay, so let's just go over that moment of greatness thing. That feels to me like we do only have control in the moment. Like that to me is the argument against free will. Like it feels true. Like it feels like I am harnessing my cells to live, and I'm harnessing who I am. And maybe who I am is based on my past, but it's still who I am right now. And I'm accepting that, or I'm fighting against it. But in the moment, you're doing one or the other. You're either accepting the moment or you're fighting against the moment. But you're still living in the moment. Like if you fight against the moment while you're living in it, it is painful. So that is the next thing that I'm talking about. There is power in the moment, but it is painful. I should say it is painful sometimes. Sometimes you're just fucking chilling. Like, it's like that privilege of being stoned and getting super stoned and being like, this is the fucking greatest thing ever. This is awesome. I'm not in a heat wave in some state I don't know. And, or I'm not in like my terrible living situation that is just 24/7. Like, we are so privileged as individuals. We all have things to be grateful for. We all have challenges. That's for sure. Some of us are arguably more privileged than others. That's for sure. And some are arguably and definitely, like, it's arguably like on what scale, but it's with certainty there are people with more stored energy from their past and people with less. So they have supportive friends, have supportive partner, and just like to have all the stored energy of my family behind me, or not all of it, but parts of it. And, you know, like my mom died and left her, you know, I was in her will and she left stored energy in the form of money with me. And I was able to use that, you know, it's like I'm able to use the stored energy that I've also created. And I've created it because I was, you know, I had the ability to do so. And that is all things that I did in the past. You know, we don't get paid instantaneously for the work that we do. Some people it's 2 weeks, some people it's a month. For me, it's years. I invest for the long term with my business. It's like what Costco does by not upping their margin on their products. It is, I invest for the long term because that's the way that I make money. I create something and it makes money over a long period of time. It does not make money immediately. But I have the privilege of having done the work to create things that earn me money over time. And I have the privilege of making money for doing work, still doing work today, filming more videos, creating more content that is profitable and things that will be profitable. So there's like this, there's an investment into the future that I cannot see. Doing this podcast, because it is not an investment in today, tomorrow, anything, because it gets 10 views. So there's no money to be made. There's no money to be made with what I'm doing right now. And even with having my own book to sell through that, it's still just too small. It's too small to make any money, but in the future it could. So that is something that I'm doing. I think a lot of what I feel privileged for, I should feel grateful for. And that the feeling of privilege should actually make me just be of service and to the people that that do support me, that are in my life and that I love, the people that I love, you know, all my friends and all my family and the people that I meet that I'll love, and all of you. You know, I love everybody who is supporting me, basically, in some fashion. And I hope to show that love back in the way that I do, which I'm still learning to do. I'm still learning to deal with myself. And that's another thing too, is like my, you know, there's a shame that comes around that. Am I being grateful enough? Am I being reciprocative enough to people? And then it's like, oh, actually, am I being taken advantage of? Are people not being reciprocal enough to me? And it's like, yes. There is examples of that. So there's this real kind of, that's a big scale. Yeah, it's just like another part of me seeing that. So privilege of being at the campsite. So that's an example. Able to drive here because I own a vehicle that runs well because I have people supporting me, mostly my family and my partner's family. And yet, this doesn't feel that privileged. There would be people and friends that I know that would never do this. And if they moved across the country, they would fly, not drive. If they drove, it would be easier because they have more money than I have. Having money is a privilege that you own entirely because of your past and the past of others. So it is history being banked. It is numbers. It is bits in a coin. It is dollar bills, y'all. It is stored energy. That is money. Money is stored energy. And money is the greatest privilege of all, but that's not the only privilege that I have. You know, I have white privilege. I have the, like, oh, ooh, that'll trigger somebody. That's a little right-leaning. Whoa. this guy, oh, who cares? This person, you know, it's like, yeah, but we all have privileges. I have privileges of being a male. I have privileges of being the age that I am, the physique that I have, the just all the privilege of my past. And it's all history. That's the thing about privilege. Privilege is history. And a large part of it is money. Like, that's how we value anything at this point. But some of it is, yeah, privilege of skin color, privilege of looks, sounds, personality, ability. I have all sorts of privileges, and there are people with much more privilege than me and much less privilege than me. I'm on the giant sliding scale of privilege that is called life. And that may or may not be, and in my opinion, and what my thought has led me to, is that it is largely out of our control, the privilege that we have, largely. Like, and it's not futile to try to what does it look like to deal with that privilege? Does it look like with pretending you're not and trying not to be? Or is it embracing it and using it to help yourself, God forbid, that if you need help, you know, we all need different levels of help. So help yourself, you know, that's a great thing. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of bullshit, or help others, or help complete strangers, help the people in your life. Like, what does that look like to be privileged, and what does that mean? And what can you use that privilege for? Can you use it for something good in this life, in this world? And I think that, it's on us to do that, because that is part of who we are. Our past is who we are, is it not? It sure is when it comes to a criminal activity, you know, that stays on your record. That's part of your past. That's part of your history. And now who you are is partially dictated by that, partially dictated by who have been in the past. And people that you know, they have an idea of who you are because of the past that you have with them. And you do not have all of the past with them. They do not know who you are at all times, even if they knew who you were, because you have probably changed. I don't know, that's a side thing, but that's just where my mind went there. And it's an interesting idea, and it's just something that I've been thinking about. And there's parts in there that I'm going to cut up and put into a book eventually. And I think that my next book is not going to be Trippin' Volume 2. I think it's going to be something else. I think it'll be, like, I started thinking about this idea about making a documentary about camping. And I just also had the idea of, like, creating poems about life and make them all about living in this world. And I entered this world in a great way by camping. And I think that a lot of people do. And there's a lot of insight in that. And there's a lot of interesting conversation in that. So I think this was more of a documentary, right? Like, I could interview people who camp. Like, that's basically what I do in a sense. I mean, like, for the alternative dwelling documentaries, is I'm interviewing somebody that lives a certain way. And but I think it would be very interesting to look at all the different aspects of how people camp and to interview each individual one, you know, and talk about really the deep senses of that. Like, it is very privileged to be able to have a huge Mercedes van with AC that's custom built out so that you can go climb rocks for fun. Like, it is very privileged. And I think that it would be very interesting to talk to somebody about what that's like. And show all aspects of it, show what it's actually like, so people can get an idea of what that lifestyle is like and the challenges that it faces, and do that for different scales, do that for people that, I mean, that basically that's what I'm doing, I guess, like people, but I think it'd be interesting to, or maybe about travel or something. Like, I don't know how to fully phrase it up, but I do that through my individual episodes of alternative dwelling documentaries every week. I tell the story of somebody living a very unique way. But I think there's just a deeper way to tell that and a more interesting way to tell that. And that it's maybe something to do about travel, or like a documentary on travel, or a documentary on alternative dwellings. That's just a full encompassing documentary about it. But I think there's something there, and I need to flesh that out, that idea out a little bit, but there's something there. And I think that I could film that, and I think it would be very interesting to film that and very interesting to create that. And I think that there would be a lot of interest from others to create that. Like, that's the thing, right? Is like, I want to create documentaries that have an audience, that have somebody that's going to be interested in it. And I also want to create something that I'm genuinely interested in. So something there, there's something there where that crosses over, and that's that fucking beauty zone for creative projects, right? Is wanting to do something and doing something. Where creative projects really fall apart is not wanting to do something and doing something, being forced to do it. And that's why I tend to do things. I tend to actually control the different aspects of it, because that is something that I need to do to make it work properly. That doesn't mean no collaboration, but it just means cooperative collaboration on the same level, cooperation. When there's a paycheck involved, when somebody's signing the back of the check, when I'm signing the back of the check, when somebody's signing the front, it can skew off drastically. What I'm realizing now about the project that I recently am not doing anymore, that I talked about a little bit, is that they hired me for one thing and expected me to do many other things. So I actually feel quite taken advantage of from that whole exchange, from working with somebody on a documentary project. So I want to readjust that, and I want to create, 'cause that's not the way it has to be. In fact, that's the way it can't be. You're not going to create gold that way. You're going to create shit. You're going to create absolute shit, because the thought process of the art is not being comprehend. It's not, there's no idea. There's no connection between reality and what people have created in their heads that they have not communicated. So that was it was not a very good fitting for me. And yeah, I'm excited to do things on my own, and also to collaborate with people. And I'm going to be doing that in a big way. And I have some ideas for some other projects, some other documentaries that I've thought of for years, and that I can finally do, and that I can get help doing. And I think that would have an audience and would be very interesting. And one of those documentaries is about mushrooms. And one of those documentaries is about van life. And one of those documentaries is about tiny houses. And one of those documentaries is about camping, travel. I think travel. I think life. Documentary about life. Life is very interesting. And that's what I'm excited about as well with my podcast, is talking to people. So if you guys have anybody to suggest that you want me to talk to, it's not going to be like an interview in the very formulaic, very formal way of interviewing somebody. It's going to be a conversation. It's going to be me asking questions because I'm curious. And so if you have anybody that you want to get to know better and you want to use me to get to know them, and I'll get to know them in my way, then you should suggest them in the comment section, or in the, if you're using Spotify, you can actually reply on Spotify as well, on the podcast itself, if you're listening. And you can comment on YouTube, and I will, I'll reach out to those people. And if you have anything else to comment too, I will most likely end up talking about it on this podcast at some point. Shout out to Renee as well. Renee commented, this will be a few weeks now, but she commented that she just bought the book. Thanks, Renee, for buying the book. She bought it for her own birthday as a birthday present for herself. That's what the comment was. And that's awesome. Yeah, that's great. Thanks for supporting me. And I really do genuinely hope that you enjoy it. I think, you know, you can use it as a trip companion. I think it is a bit of a trip companion. It's also... I'm realizing now more and more that what it is, and it's a poetry book as well. And I've kind of been not wanting to say that because there's some insecurity that comes up for me about writing poetry and that being kind of an effeminate thing to do. And I feel insecure about that, about having written a poetry book. But in a sense, it is a type of poetry book. It's a trip companion. And for me, I haven't yet used it as a trip companion because... Well, I have, but only in a sense where I'll elaborate it on in the podcast. I haven't actually read something there and then written more on it. I haven't used it as that, but that's what I'm hoping that other people can use it as, because it's a new thought to them possibly. And I've already had those thoughts and I can expand on them in audio, but I haven't yet done that. But the hope is that it is an adequate trip companion. So you would be tripping or... I should say, I would be tripping if I was to do this. And I look at this and I read it and then I write. You know, just be in whatever state of mind you're comfortable with. There's no obligation to do anything. You just do this, whatever. And yeah, definitely don't do any substances that you're not already very comfortable with and you already do. That is not what I'm advocating here at all. But if you already smoke legal cannabis in the country of Canada or somewhere else, that's enough. I trip hard. I'm tripping so hard on an edible right now, and it is only stately legal here, I think. I think I saw some signs for cannabis dispensaries, so I'm pretty sure it's legal in this whatever state I'm in. And I've taken this edible, and I'm tripping. So you can do the same if that is something that you do already, if that is something that is illegal to do. And when I trip, I write, I think. And to me, what I've been doing is I've been going back to the Google Docs. I've been doing the same thing that I did to write the first tripping book. I've been writing poems in Google Docs. I've been writing thoughts in Poet Doc. I've been writing thoughts in Google Docs. And I'm sharing one of those. I shared one of those in this podcast. So I won't be sharing anything from the book. Renee, I know you mentioned kind of reading it and then having it for the next week. Not every week I'm going to be doing that. And not every week I'm going to be looking at the book. Not every week I'm going to be going through one of the thoughts from the book. But sometimes I will. And I will. And when I do that, you'll have that book to read it with, or to think about it, or, you know, you can go through it first and then when I go to it, you will already have a thought on it, which will be quite interesting, I think. And maybe it'll be different than the thought I have on it. And I'm sure it will be. And that's what I'm hoping that people get, is they get different thoughts, because the way I write is I like things to be open-ended, and they can, you know, I can interpret them, but somebody else can interpret them as well. And if they do, then that's for them to do. That's great. So thanks everyone for listening, watching. If you're interested in checking out that book that I just rambled on about, that you're just listening to this for the first time, you have no idea what's going on. I have no idea how you got it this far. If you're just listening to this for the first time, if you're listening to it the multiple times, you've heard me talk about this book. So why am I talking about it again? Well, just to remind you to hit checkout. You know, maybe you got it in your cart. Maybe you thought about it. Go, and maybe you haven't even looked at it yet. Maybe it's taken a couple times to get reminded. So go check it out. It's on Amazon. There's a link in the description. There is a description about that. And I think if you're in Amazon.com, if you're in the States, there's actually a preview as well. So you can read the foreword, and the foreword tells you a lot about what the book is about. And I find that part very, very interesting. And I think that some of you would as well. So maybe go check out the foreword. Maybe you'll end up buying the book. Maybe it's interesting to you. And if you do, then you're supporting me and you're part of my privilege, because you're part of my past and you're part of my earned and stored energy. So thank you for transferring a little of your stored energy to me through the transaction of buying my poetry book and trip companion book. Thanks, everybody.